I'm reading from one of my favorite parts of Krishna book, which is the last chapter, called Summary Description of Lord Krishna's Pastimes. After returning from the spiritual kingdom, which he was able to visit personally with Krishna, Arjuna was very much astonished. He thought to himself that although he was an ordinary living entity, by the grace of Krishna, it had been possible for him to see the spiritual world. Not only had he seen the spiritual world, but he had also personally seen the original Mahavishnu, the cause of the material creation. It is said that Krishna never goes out of Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam nagacchati. Krishna is supreme in Mathura. He is more supreme in Dwarka, and he is most supreme in Vrindavan. Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka are displayed by his Vasudeva portion, yet there is no difference between the Vasudeva portion manifested in Mathura and Dwarka and the original manifestation of Krishna in Vrindavan. In the beginning of this book, we have discussed that when Krishna appeared, all his incarnations, plenary portions, and portions of the plenary portions come with him. Thus, some of his different pastimes are manifested not by the original Krishna himself, but by his expansions. Why Arjuna was puzzled by Krishna's going to see Karanavashaya Vishnu in the spiritual world is fully discussed in the commentaries of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur as follows. It is understood from the speech of Mahavishnu that he was very eager to see Krishna. It may be said, however, that since Mahavishnu took away the Brahmin's sons, he must certainly have gone to Dwarka to do so. Therefore, why did he not see Krishna there? A possible answer is that unless Krishna gives his permission, he cannot be seen even by Mahavishnu lying in the causal ocean of the spiritual world. Thus, Mahavishnu took away the Brahmin's sons, one after another, just after their birth, so that Krishna would come personally to the causal ocean to retrieve them, and then Mahavishnu would be able to see him there. If that is so, the next question is this: why would Mahavishnu come to Dwarka personally if he were not able to see Krishna? Why did he not send some of his associates to take away the sons of the Brahmana? A possible answer is that it is very difficult to put any of the citizens of Dwarka into trouble in the presence of Krishna. Therefore, because it was not possible for any of Mahavishnu's associates to take away the Brahmana's sons, he personally came to take them. Another question may be raised. The Lord is known as Brahmanyadeva, the worshipable deity of the Brahmins. So why was he inclined to put a Brahmin into such a terrible condition of lamentation over one son after another until the tenth son was taken away? The answer is that Lord Mahavishnu was so eager to see Krishna that he did not hesitate even to give trouble to a Brahmana. Although giving trouble to a Brahmin is a forbidden act, Lord Vishnu was prepared to do anything in order to see Krishna. He was so eager to see him. After losing each of his sons, the Brahmin would come to the gate of the palace and accuse the king of not being able to give the Brahmin its protection and of thus being unfit to sit on the royal throne. It was Mahavishnu's plan that the Brahmin would accuse the Kshatriyas and Krishna would be obliged to come to see him to take back the Brahmin's sons. Still another question may be raised. If Mahavishnu cannot see Krishna, then how was Krishna obliged to come before him, after all, to take back the sons of the Brahmana? The answer is that Lord Krishna went to see Lord Mahavishnu not exactly to take away the sons of the Brahman, but only for Arjuna's sake. His friendship with Arjuna was so intimate that when Arjuna prepared himself to die by entering a fire, Krishna wanted to give him complete protection. Arjuna, however, would not desist from entering the fire unless the sons of the Brahman were brought back. Therefore, Krishna promised him, "I shall bring back the Brahmana's sons. Do not try to commit suicide." If Lord Krishna were going to see Lord Vishnu only to reclaim the sons of the Brahmana, then he would not have waited until the tenth son was taken. But when the tenth son was taken away by Lord Mahavishnu, and when Arjuna was therefore ready to enter the fire because his promise was going to prove false, that serious situation made Lord Krishna decide to go with Arjuna to see Mahavishnu. It is said that Arjuna is not an empowered incarnation. It is said that Arjuna is an empowered incarnation of Narayan. He is even sometimes called Narayan. The Narayan incarnation is also one of Lord Vishnu's plenary expansions. Therefore, When Krishna and Arjuna went to see Lord Vishnu, it is to be understood that Arjuna visited in his Narayan capacity, just as Krishna, when he displayed his pastimes in Dwarka, acted in his Vasudev capacity. After visiting the spiritual world, Arjuna concluded that whatever opulence anyone can show within the material or spiritual worlds is all a gift of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is manifested in various forms as Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, or in other words as Svangsa and Vibhinaksa. Vishnu Tattva is known as Svangsa and Jiva Tattva is known as Vibhinaksa. He can therefore display himself by his different transcendental pastimes in the portion of either Svangsa or Vibhinaksa as he likes, but still he remains the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. The concluding portion of Krishna's pastimes is found in the 90th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami wanted to explain how Krishna lived happily at Dwarka with all opulence. Krishna's opulence of strength has already been displayed in his different pastimes, and now it will be shown how his residence at Dwarka displayed his opulence of wealth and beauty. In this material world, the opulences of wealth and beauty are considered the highest of all opulences, yet they are only a perverted reflection of these opulences in the spiritual world. Therefore, while Krishna stayed on this planet as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his opulences of wealth and beauty had no comparison within the three worlds. Krishna enjoyed 16,000 beautiful wives, and it is most significant that he lived in Dwarka as the only husband of these 16,000 beautiful women. This is specifically stated, that he was the only husband of the 16,000 wives. It is, of course, not unheard of in the history of the world that a powerful king would keep many hundreds of queens, but although such a king might be the only husband of so many wives, he could not enjoy all of them at one time. Lord Krishna, however, enjoyed all of his 16,000 wives simultaneously. Although it may be said that yogis also can expand their bodies into many forms, the yogis' expansions and Lord Krishna's expansions are not the same. Krishna is therefore sometimes called Yogeshwara, the master of all yogis. In the Vedic literature, we find that the yogi Shubhari Muni expanded himself into eight, but that expansion was like a television expansion. The television image is manifest in millions of expansions, but these expansions cannot act differently. They are simply reflections of the original and can only act exactly as the original does. Krishna's expansion is not material, like the expansion of the television or the yogi. When Narada visited the different palaces of Krishna, he saw that Krishna in his different expansions was variously engaged in each and every palace of the queens. It is also said that Krishna lived in Dwarka as the husband of the goddess of fortune, Queen Rukmini, is the goddess of fortune, and all other queens are her expansions. So Krishna, the chief of the Vishnu dynasty, enjoyed with the goddess of fortune in full opulence. The queens of Krishna are described as permanently youthful and beautiful. Although Krishna had grandchildren and great-grandchildren, neither Krishna nor his queens looked older than 16 or 20 years of age. The young queens were so beautiful that when they moved, they appeared like lightning moving in the sky. They were always dressed with excellent ornaments and garments, and were always engaged in sportive activities like dancing, singing, or playing ball on the roofs of the palaces. The dancing and tennis playing of girls in the material world are perverted reflections of the original pastimes of the original personality of Godhead, Krishna and his wives. The roads and streets of the city of Dwarka were always crowded with elephants, horses, chariots, and infantry soldiers. When elephants are engaged in service, they are given liquor to drink, and it is said that the elephants in Dwarka were given so much liquor that they would sprinkle a great quantity of it on the road and walk on the streets intoxicated. The infantry soldiers passing on the streets were profusely decorated with golden ornaments, and horses and golden chariots plied along the streets. In all directions of Dwarka city, wherever one would turn, his eyes would find green parks and gardens, each of them filled with trees and plants laden with fruits and flowers. Because there were so many nice trees of fruits and flowers, all the sweetly chirping birds and bumblebees joined together to make sweet vibrations. The city of Dwarka thus fully displayed all opulences. The heroes in the dynasty of Yadu used to think themselves the most fortunate residents of the city, and actually they enjoyed all transcendental facilities. All the 16,000 palaces of Krishna's queens were situated in this beautiful city of Dwarka, and Lord Krishna, the supreme, eternal enjoyer of all these facilities, expanded himself into 16,000 forms, and simultaneously engaged in different family affairs in those 16,000 palaces. In each and every one of the palaces, there were nicely decorated gardens and lakes. The crystal clear water of the lakes contained many blooming lotus flowers of different colors like blue, yellow, white, and red. And the saffron powder from the lotus flower was blown all around by the breeze. All the lakes were full of beautiful swans, ducks, and cranes, crying occasionally with melodious sounds. Lord Sri Krishna sometimes entered those lakes or the rivers with his wives and enjoyed swimming pastimes with them in full jubilation. Sometimes the wives of Lord Krishna, who were all goddesses of fortune, would embrace the Lord in the midst of the water while swimming or taking a bath, and the red vermilion of kumkum decorating their beautiful breasts would adorn the chest of the Lord with a reddish color. The impersonalists would not dare believe that in the spiritual world there are such varieties of enjoyment. But in order to demonstrate the factual, ever-blissful enjoyment in the spiritual world, Lord Krishna descended to this planet and showed that the spiritual world is not devoid of such pleasurable facilities of life. The only difference is that in the spiritual world, such facilities are eternal, never-ending occurrences, whereas in the material world, they are simply impermanent, perverted reflections. When Lord Krishna was engaged in such enjoyment, the Gandharvas and professional musicians would glorify him with melodious musical concerts, accompanied by kettle drums, mridangas, and other drums, along with string instruments and brass bugles, and the whole atmosphere would change into a greatly festive celebration. In festive mood, the wives of the Lord would sometimes sprinkle water on his body with a syringe-like instrument, and the Lord would similarly wet the bodies of the queens. When Krishna and the queens enjoyed themselves in these pastimes, it seems as if the heavenly king, Yaksharaj, were engaged in pastimes with his many wives. Yaksharaj is also known as Kuvera and is considered the treasure of the heavenly kingdom. When the wives of Lord Krishna thus became wet, their breasts and thighs would increase in beauty 1,000 times, and their long hair would fall down to decorate those parts of their bodies. The beautiful flowers placed in their hair would fall, and the queens, being seemingly harassed by the Lord's throwing water at them, would approach him on the plea of snatching the syringe-like instrument. This attempt would create a situation wherein the Lord would embrace them as they willingly approached him. Upon being embraced, the wives of the Lord would feel on their mouths a clear indication of conjugal love, and this would create an atmosphere of spiritual bliss. When the garland on the neck of the Lord then touched the breasts of the queens, their whole bodies became covered with saffron yellow. Being engaged in their celestial pastimes, the queens forgot themselves, and their loosened hair appeared like beautiful waves of a river. When the queen sprinkled water on the body of Lord Krishna, or he sprinkled water on the bodies of the queens, the whole situation appeared just like that of an elephant enjoying in a lake with many she-elephants. I'll continue reading this tomorrow. Today is the day preceding Jagannath Rath Yatra in Puri. And since these are Lord Jagannath's pastimes in Dwarka, I thought that for his pleasure, it would be nice to read this and to hear it. Hare Krishna.